The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management. Welcome to Age-Wise Living with Barbara Friesner. Barbara is here to keep you educated on elder care issues. She will give you the information you need to help your aging loved one and yourself. Now, here is your host, Barbara Friesner.
Good morning and welcome to Age-Wise Living. Thanks so much for joining us today. I am so excited to be here and to have all of you here, too. If you're dealing with elder care issues, or you see that in your future, or you know someone who's dealing with elder care issues, and that's pretty much everybody, then this show, Age-Wise Living, is for you. I've been a care manager now for more than 25 years, first for my grandmother for many years, and now for the past 17 years for my mother, who has advanced dementia and is actually now living in a nursing home. But way back 17 years ago, when I first started helping my mother after my father died, she was thankful for my help, especially with her finances, because, like with many women of her generation, my father had handled all the finances. And it was actually amazing, because I noticed that when I took over the finances, she became less forgetful. And I think it was because so much of the stress had been removed, and I was so hopeful that her forgetfulness was just the stress. Unfortunately, as time went on, it became clear that she wasn't just pleasantly forgetful. It was clear that there was dementia and I had to get more involved. And it got more and more difficult to get her to cooperate, especially with stuff she didn't want to do. And the two biggies were getting her to stop driving and then, after that, moving her into an assisted living community. And it didn't take long to figure out that knowing what to do wasn't the hard part. The hard part was getting her to willingly agree to do what needed to be done and what was in her best interest. But pretty soon, every conversation turned into an argument, and I tried everything, but it was really bad, and I knew I couldn't just walk away, but I was just totally crazed. And to make it more difficult, I had a full-time job, as most people do, and with my job, I was on the road 300 days a year, so a lot of the time I'd have a horrible conversation with my mother over the phone, and then I'd have to get my head back into work, and what was even worse is because I was away, there really wasn't a whole lot I could do about it anyway. I mean, it was just these conversations just never seemed to stop, and no matter how hard I tried, it just got harder and harder. So if you're stressed and overwhelmed, I know just how you feel. I knew I had to figure out some way to talk with her so she would willingly do what was in her best interest. And through research and study and talking to my friends who had aging parents and talking to people my mother's age, I realized that most of the communication issues were because of generational differences. And it was amazing. Once I figured that out, successfully communicating with my mother got a lot easier. And then soon friends started calling me and asking me questions and advice about their parents, and then friends of friends, and then total strangers. And 9 years ago, I left the corporate world, and helping families help their aging loved ones became my full focus. And I started my company, Age-Wise Living, and became a generational coach, and to help assisted living communities do a better job, I became an adjunct professor at Cornell University, where I teach seniors housing management. Now, helping your aging parents is one of the most loving things you can do, and many parents willingly and lovingly accept their children's help. Unfortunately, not everyone's parents see it that way. So as much as you're trying to help and doing a wonderful and loving thing, The life of a caregiver can be draining and stressful and overwhelming and frustrating and even filled with guilt or resentment or anger. And guilt is a really big one. As I said, my mother is now in a nursing home, and I visit her on an average, I'd say, about every 2 weeks, about every other week. And I go there to visit even though my mother no longer knows who I am. I mean, it's really sad. There is absolutely no recognition. She still recognizes her name, but that's pretty much it. But I go there every other week, and you know, obviously to see her, but also just in case somehow, somewhere deep inside, she knows she has company and that it matters somehow to her. And I also go to keep in touch with the staff so that the staff knows that she has a family member who cares. But I have to admit, it's very difficult, because even if somewhere inside she knows someone is there to see her, there's really no longer any outward sign, and so it's really hard. But I sit there with her, and I tell her about what's going on with me and the family, and on and on, and tell it two or three times or 10 or 20 times. Or sometimes I just sit there and hold her hand, and it's really, it's been a wonderful experience to just have that connection with her, even though it's incredibly sad. And I usually stay for about an hour, but every time, as I leave, as I'm walking out the door, I start feeling guilty that I didn't stay longer. And I'm talking about as I'm walking out the door. They have these double doors where the one door is open and then there's a vestibule and the doors behind you close and the ones in front of you open. I'm not even out of the building. I am still at the vestibule. And I start saying to myself, you should have stayed longer. Maybe if you'd stayed longer, she would have remembered something. You should have, you know, you came all this way, you should have stayed longer. And then the other part of me says, well, you know, she wouldn't remember anything anyway. It doesn't really matter. It's really okay. I have a train to catch. And the other side of me, the other angel on the other shoulder says, no, you know, you really should have stayed. You can, and I say, well, then go back. And so I go through this whole thing with myself. And again, I'm not even out the door, and already I'm feeling guilty. And finally, one day I said to myself, now I happen to talk to myself a lot. I said to myself, Barbara, you have two options. Option number one is you can either stay, and then I start going on, well, you know, I have a train. Well, the trains run every hour. Well, yeah, but I have things to be. Barbara, you can either stay or you can shut up. One or the other. Either stay and go back or stop talking about it. Keep going. And all the way back, it's about a mile to the train station. As I'm walking down the hill to the train station, the whole way I'm saying to myself, well, you know, I should have stayed longer. And then I say, no, it's okay. You have a train. You can still go back. I mean, it never seems to end. And it's this thing that goes on. And the thing that makes it so difficult is that I know for family members, the more you do, the harder the guilt becomes, the more guilty you feel in so many ways. No matter how much you do, there's always room for the guilt. And then you feel anger about the guilt. You know, I why should I feel angry? I'm here, you know, nobody else is here. And then you feel guilty because you're feeling angry, and on and on and on. So if you're feeling guilty and angry, I know just how you feel about that too. And that's how it is for many caregivers. And I know because I'm a generational coach, and that's what I hear from just about all of my clients. And as a generational coach, I work with family members with issues like what to do about their mother with dementia, who's living at home, because they always promised that they would never move her, even into an assisted living or anything. They'd never make her leave her house, even though maybe it's too dangerous for her to live alone, or she probably would be happier if she had other people around her and had people to talk to. So I help families who have, you know, a loved one with dementia look at what the options are. Or I work with families who need to get their dad to stop driving without completely isolating him or leaving him completely homebound, or without the family having to drive him around and do all of the errands. In other words, help them to get their father to give up the car and still be independent. Or getting their aging loved one to take care of their long-term planning, like writing a will or doing a power of attorney or writing a living will or naming a health care proxy. Or with issues like should mom and dad live at home or move into a nursing home? And usually that's what the family members are thinking, you know, either live at home or a nursing home, sort of all or nothing, because a lot of family members only know those two options. And unfortunately, in most cases, the family usually calls me after they've mentioned the nursing home to their aging loved one, and now their aging loved one won't talk to them anymore. But I help the family members look at the other options, everything from having someone help maintain the house to someone coming in and helping with the cleaning or getting an in-home aide or moving to an assisted living, whatever. And by the way, if you'd like more information about what is between all and nothing, I really encourage you to sign up for my free weekly newsletter, because that's this week's topic. And if you're interested, just go to agewiseliving.com before Thursday, because the newsletter is going to be going out on Thursday. Now, I work with family member, with either one family member or a number of family members, never the senior. And a lot of time I work with the caregiver, usually the daughter, just one, because maybe she's an only child, or maybe she has a sibling that either is entirely out of the picture, or a sibling who wants no part of the work but is more than happy to tell you what you should be doing, or sabotages you. You know, you get mom to agree to do something, and your sibling calls and tells mom she doesn't have to do it, that kind of thing. But what I really prefer to do is to work with all the siblings together via a conference call, which is why all the work I do by phone, so I can work with sibs even if they're spread out all over the country or even all over the world. Because most of the time, all of the siblings want to do what's in their aging loved one's best interest, but they have different ideas about what best interest is. And in the process, I help you reduce the stress and guilt so you can have a happier, more fulfilled and peaceful life, as well as enable you to have a better relationship with your parents and your siblings. But of course, by the way, I say aging loved one because for many of you it's your parents, but it could be an aunt or an uncle or a friend or your parents or anyone. So I say aging loved one so you don't think, oh, but that's not me. It's anyone who's taking care of an aging loved one. But because I'd rather help people avoid problems before they happen, I also do speeches and workshops all over the country on elder care issues. And I've created a complete system called the Ultimate Caregiver Success System, which I'll be introducing in the next few weeks. And because of my mother's dementia is a particularly important passion of mine, so I created a CD called Is It Simple Forgetfulness or the Real Thing? And it's also why I'm so excited to have this radio program, so I can help families on a much broader scale. AgeWise Living, this program, AgeWise Living, is going to focus on a broad spectrum of elder care issues, one issue at a time. Each AgeWise Living show is going to focus on one topic and feature interviews with the best people out there. However, before we start bringing in other experts to talk about individual subjects, we're looking at how to communicate effectively with your aging loved one, because frankly, if you're not able to communicate successfully, all the other topics will be interesting, but they won't do you a lot of good if you can't get your aging loved one to talk with you, and I mean really communicate and cooperate. So what we're going to do right now is we're going to take a short break. This is Barbara Friesner, and you're listening to AgeWise Living. And by the way, I'd love to hear from you, so please do email me with any comments or questions or suggestions to barbara@agewiseliving.com. And remember, for more information about any of these topics, go to my website, agewiseliving.com. And we'll be right back.
The Internet's number one talk station. Number one talk station. VoiceAmerica.com.
Are you struggling with caregiving responsibilities for your parents, in-laws, or other aging loved ones? Are you in an elder care power struggle with your siblings? Are you struggling to balance work and elder care and feeling you're losing control of both? Are elder care issues such as driving, finances, or maintaining their home costing you time, money, relationships, and peace of mind? Wanting to help an aging loved one is one of the most loving and compassionate things you can do. However, your help may not always be appreciated or well received, leaving you tired, frustrated, and overwhelmed. If this sounds like what you're going through, you're not alone. I'm Barbara Friesner, and I'm a generational coach, and I'm here to help you. To get started, just call me toll-free for a complimentary Get Acquainted conversation at 877-AGE-WISE. That's 877-AGE-WISE. Or go to my website, agewiseliving.com. That's agewiseliving.com, to resolve your elder care issues by choice, not crisis. Call 877-AGE-WISE.
Do you know what it takes to reach massive success? Do you know that if you change your thinking, you can change your life? The Development Connection with host Amy Hines will give you the keys to reach ultimate success. Each show will feature topics to help you reach personal, career, and business ownership success. And you'll learn how to enlarge your vision to move ahead in life and within your organization. The Development Connection with Amy Hines is live every Monday on Voice America at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, noon Pacific. Listen today and move forward tomorrow.
Amanda, age 3. Tyler, age 8. Marissa, age 4.5.
We could tell you just how many child abductions last year led to Amber Alerts, but this isn't about cold statistics. It's about saving kids.
Shaniqua, age 14.
To get free Amber Alerts on your cell phone, go to wirelessamberalerts.org. When an alert is issued in your area, you'll receive it as a free text message. Wirelessamberalerts.org. A child is calling for help. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Stimulating talk.
It gets those synapses in the brain inspired really fast.
All the time. The number one internet talk station where your opinion counts. VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to AgeWise Living with Barbara Friesner. If you have a question for Barbara, a comment or problem you wish to discuss on today's program, call in now at 1-866-472-5788. That's toll-free, 1-866-472-5788. Or send an email to Barbara at agewiseliving.com. Now back to our program.
Hi, welcome back to AgeWise Living. I'm Barbara Friesner, and our topic today is understanding your aging loved one so you can successfully communicate with them and so you can resolve your elder care issues by choice, not crisis. As I said before the break, I'm a generational coach. Why generational coach? Why is it so important to be a generational coach? Well, because it's human nature for everyone to think that everyone else looks at the world the way we do, especially our parents. I mean, they are, after all, our parents. But the fact is, they don't. In fact, baby boomers and their parents are generational opposites. So a lot of times what that means is we say something and they respond in a way that makes your head explode and you think to yourself, what? Where did that come from? Well, I help the family know what to do, but more importantly, I think anyway, is I help them communicate effectively so your head doesn't have to explode. And when I'm working with my clients, in fact, sometimes we actually script out what they're going to say and how. But how often in life do we anticipate a conversation and say, now if he says this, then I'm going to say that, and then he'll say, and then I'll say, and then he'll say, and then I'll say, and then he doesn't say what we say, and we're completely flustered. Unfortunately, life just doesn't work that way. So that's why it's so important to understand where your aging loved ones are coming from generationally so you can keep the conversation going in the direction you want it to go, even if your aging loved one doesn't stick to the script they didn't even know existed in the first place. If you want to have good communication, because really, successfully working with your aging loved one is all about communication, then we have to adapt, then we, us baby boomers, have to adapt what we say and how we say it to where they're coming from. So let's look at our parents' generation. Now, a lot of people refer to our parents' generation as the Depression-era generation because, obviously, the Great Depression had a huge and a deeply profound impact on them. However, if you think of them only in terms of the Great Depression, then you really miss the most important elements to understanding them. And that is that our parents' formative years, from birth until about 10 or 15 years old, was at the end of the Victorian era. And people of the Victorian era are generally, and remember I say generally because what is true for most is not always true for all, and there are going to be other factors such as the region of the country, whether they lived in the east or the west or the north or the south, whether they lived in the city or the country, what their economic status was, how long they lived in the United States. All of those things are going to have an impact. But generally, people of the Victorian era were very private, and they didn't discuss personal things, especially not about money or health, with outsiders or professionals or the family, and certainly not the children. And they still don't. And sometimes they're overwhelmed by us baby boomers who talk about health and money, and when we want to talk about wills or funerals or their long-term financial planning or where they stand financially, all of those things. It just isn't proper for someone of that era to talk with family members about it. So they're a very private generation, and so they're not going to talk about, also not going to talk about their health care issues and their health issues and how they're feeling. They're certainly not going to talk about their feelings. This is also a generation that's very proud. Now, they may not ask for help or admit they need it, and they may not be very gracious about accepting it. And so they're very self-sufficient, and they may need help, but this is an area where it's almost embarrassing to ask for help, but in addition, it also makes them feel as if they're going to be giving up some of their independence and their freedom. In addition, this is a generation that respects and rarely questions or challenges authority. And by authority, think doctors, especially doctors, but any authority, actually, but especially doctors. What that means is they may not ask questions. And the problem with that is if something scares them, they just won't do it. They won't say they're not going to do it. They just won't do it. And it also means that they don't want to challenge authority, so if they're sitting in the doctor's office and the doctor tells them something that they either don't understand or don't agree with, they won't say anything. They'll just say yes, 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 but then they just won't do it. And sometimes they're overwhelmed by their baby boomer children and others who do challenge the authority. So you're asking questions, and you're asking the doctor, why is this a good medication for them to take? What is that supposed to do? Even questions like that, for our parents, our Victorian-era parents, they believe that if you're challenging authority, that they may oppose you because it's just not the right and proper thing to do. But the big one is that the Victorian era, men and women of the Victorian era, had very strictly defined male and female roles. What that meant was the men of that generation were the breadwinners. They earned the money, and they were the professionals. They went out and they brought home the money, and women of that generation were the homemakers and mothers and care providers. Not only care providers for the children, but also care providers for grandparents or the aunts and uncles or the extended family. Remember, this was at a time when people generally lived within 5 miles of where they were born. It wasn't until after World War II that we spread out into the suburbs, but before then everybody was living nearby, and it was the women's job to take care of anybody who needed taking care of. What that means is that now, as they are needing help, they expect the daughter to be, or the daughter-in-law, to be their care providers. And the funny thing is, they're very proud, so they may not ask for help, but that doesn't mean they don't expect it, which makes it a very difficult kind of feeling. You know, it's not like you're asked for it, and when you offer it, they don't always accept it, but your help is expected. In addition, that means that the men were the breadwinners and they earned the money, So when there is a need for professional advice, they often turn to their sons for the professional advice because that's a man's job. And you can just imagine the kind of friction that that can create between the daughters and the sons, between the siblings. And it often creates friction between the daughter and the parents. It's not that the daughter isn't willing to do it. It's just that nobody asked. And it also means that as time goes on, if there is a need to come in and help with the finances, if you go to help, for example, I needed to help my mother with her finances, and she was more than happy to give them to me, because for her it meant getting rid of something that she had never done before, and she was happy to get rid of it. But when it came to losing her home, leaving her home, because that's her identity, that was a huge battle. Conversely, with the men, they may have absolutely no problem having help come into the home or moving into an assisted living or getting somebody to come in and cook and clean for them, so long as it's being done by somebody other than them, they're fine. But when it comes time to help with the finances, that's when the difficulties arise, because that's their job and that's their identity. However, when the Great Depression hit, they were pretty much out of their formative years. However, because the impact of the Great Depression was so profound, the Great Depression also defined them. It didn't erase their Victorian values. They were still very private and very proud, didn't challenge authority, very strictly defined male-female roles. It didn't get rid of any of that. It didn't erase that. It just added to them, which is why I call this group the Vicky D's, Victoria Depression Era Generation, the Vicky D's. And as a result of the Great Depression, money or not having money is a huge concern, and it's rarely, rarely far from their minds. Money represents safety and security and independence and control over their lives. So they don't want to lose control over the money, and they're certainly not going to take any chances with it. They don't believe in credit. You know, if you don't have money, you don't buy it. They'd never risk the house, so for people who are trying to, you know, work out reverse mortgages, that might be a very taboo subject. And this was a group that believed in waste not, want not, so they never threw anything out, which makes moving even more overwhelming. But you can really understand the thinking. You know, they'll keep an old toaster because they're going to get it fixed, because the only thing that's broken in it is that it needs a bulb in it to show that the toaster is on. You can't buy a bulb these days, and they won't have to pay it. They won't pay to have it fixed because getting it fixed costs more than a new one does, and they don't want to spend the money. So they just put the toaster aside because they're sure that they're going to get to it one of these days. So many of you, I'm sure, have seen the old family house that's got all kinds of stuff in it that's going to get fixed one of these days. And this is a group that believes in saving for a rainy day, and every tomorrow could be rainy. And, you know, the funny thing is they're right. Everybody sort of laughed at them when they were saying, oh, you know, save for a rainy day. You never know when there'll be more problems. And now it turns out that they were right to be very careful with their money, weren't they? So those are the highlights and the primary traits that we baby boomers usually crash up against when we're trying to help our aging loved ones. And if you want more information about the Vicky D's, I hope you'll go to my website, which is www.agewiseliving.com. And while you're there, please do sign up for my free newsletter. And we're going to stop right now for a short break. This is Barbara Friesner, and you're listening to Age Wise Living.
The Internet's number one talk station. Number one talk station. VoiceAmerica.com.
Are you struggling with caregiving responsibilities for your parents, in-laws, or other aging loved ones? Are you in an elder care power struggle with your siblings? Are you struggling to balance work and elder care and feeling you're losing control of both? Are elder care issues such as driving, finances, or maintaining their home costing you time, money, relationships, and peace of mind? Wanting to help an aging loved one is one of the most loving and compassionate things you can do. However, your help may not always be appreciated or well received, leaving you tired, frustrated, and overwhelmed. If this sounds like what you're going through, you're not alone. I'm Barbara Friesner, and I'm a generational coach, and I'm here to help you. To get started, just call me toll-free for a complimentary Get Acquainted conversation at 877-AGE-WISE. That's 877-AGE-WISE. Or go to my website, agewiseliving.com. That's agewiseliving.com to resolve your elder care issues by choice, not crisis. Call 877-AGE-WISE.
If you want to put the pep back in your step, Chad Lafferty has just what you're looking for. Dance is life. Life is dance.
It's only about dance.
It's about moving through life with style, gaining awareness of the never-ending, ever-flowing movement that accompanies all of life's activities. Dance is life. Life is dance. Broadcast every Saturday morning at 9 a.m. Pacific, 12 p.m. Eastern on the Voice America Radio Network. Be sure to tune in and tap into the limitless healing that dance can provide.
Can't stop now.
Think of the world 50 years ago. Now think of this same world and how it'll be 50 years from now. Did you know that if the world's population continues to grow at its current rate, our children and grandchildren will only have 25% of the resources per capita that our parents and grandparents had? We must preserve the foundation of a quality standard of living. That foundation starts with Go Green Radio. Join your host, Jill Buck, for Go Green Radio every Friday at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Voice America.
Streaming live, the leader in Internet talk radio, VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to AgeWise Living with Barbara Friesner. If you have a question for Barbara, a comment or problem you wish to discuss on today's program, call in now at 1-866-472-5788. That's toll-free, 1-866-472-5788. Or send an email to Barbara at agewiseliving.com. Now back to our program.
When I first became the elder caregiver for my mother, she was 72 years old. And as were the parents of most of my friends and the group born generally between, say, 1905 and 1925. And that group, the Vicki D's, have been the focus of my generational coaching practice. This year, my mother turned 89. And while many of my clients are struggling to help their aging loved ones who are my mother's age, I'm getting far more calls for help with parents who are younger, between 65 and 85. Now, I always assumed those between 65 and 85 were just the younger brothers and sisters of the Vicki D's, and the coaching was the same, and it worked. Except that more and more people told me that while the coaching worked, the conversations were edgier somehow, and that it was really more difficult. And everything would be going fine, and then every once in a while, there'd be an explosion, which was really odd. So, back to the research, and I discovered a whole other generation, a generation between the Vicki D's and their baby boomer children. Now, some think this group isn't really a generation, but only the youngest of the Vicki D's and the younger brothers and sisters of the Vicki D's, but still Vicki D's, because they were raised with all the Victorian Depression-era values, characters, and personal discipline. And maybe if the Great Depression and World War II hadn't happened, this would be true. But they did happen, and this generation is, in fact, very different and a generation of their own. So let's take a look at this new generation. This is a relatively small generation because people were having fewer children in the economic and political upheavals of the 1920s and the 1930s. And this generation was dubbed the Silent Generation. It was called that in a November, it was a 1951 cover story for Time magazine. They called it the Silent Generation. And while some of that generation have renamed themselves the responsible generation, and they were very much that, I think the term silent generation really better describes and defines them. Why? Well, as I said, they were raised with Victorian values and shared the experiences of the Great Depression, but they were still in their formative years when the Great Depression hit. And the Great Depression was devastating for everyone. Men lost their jobs and their ability to make money. That was their identity. So the men were absolutely devastated by what was going on. In many cases, they lost their homes. And so women, whose identity was their home, were devastated. But for the children, in many ways, I think it was even worse, because they were the children. And remember what I said earlier, it was not proper to talk to the children about health or about money. So no one talked to them. And, I mean, today's kids know everything. I mean, there's information out there going on 24/7, and there's really nothing that kids these days don't know about. But back then, their world was crashing in on them, and they had no idea what was going on, and people didn't tell them what was going on. At that time, while the men were losing their jobs, many children were able to find jobs, and many children took on greater responsibilities. Some teenagers found jobs when their parents couldn't find jobs, which reversed the normal roles of provider and dependent, parent and child. And sometimes the children even had to comfort their parents at a difficult time. This was their job. But it was the way it was. And again, these young children had to suffer in silence. In other families, children were sent away to live with other families because their parents couldn't afford to feed and clothe them. And you may have heard, and don't remember what the name of it is. Children who were sent in trains to go to the families out in the Midwest to take care of them. And were they sent away for their own good? Absolutely. But again, they had to suffer in silence. And they were probably the lucky ones, because at that time there were 200,000 vagrant children wandering the country as a result of the breakup of their families, and a lot of them were riding the rails. They were hobos on the rails. And this generation was too young to fight in World War II, so while their older brothers and sisters, their older generation, went to fight in World War II, and their mothers and sisters went to work for the war effort, this generation was home alone. In fact, they were the original latchkey kids, which, you know, wore the house key around their necks on a string, came home to empty houses, had to take care of themselves. And most importantly, they were required to be good little boys and girls, and especially, again, suffer in silence. Because you just didn't complain. Everybody was in the same kind of situation. Everyone was working for the common good. And so they couldn't say anything. These were young kids, but they had to suffer in silence. And later, when they grew up, many of them went to war, the Korean War, sometimes referred to as the Forgotten War, which is really ironic because that term applies perfectly to the men and women who fought in it. And although more than 3 million people died in the Korean War and it prevented communism from spreading into South Korea, no other gains were made, only many casualty losses. Silence came home from the war, and the world had moved on. And again, in spite of fighting and in many cases having friends die heroically, the silence got on with their lives and again kept silent. In addition, many silents helped fight many of the baby boomer battles and did so silently and stoically. And in fact, there are people who think that the silence should belong to the baby boomer generation because in many ways they were like the baby boomers. For example, many silent women were career women, which would have been very rare for the Vicky D's. Not that there weren't Vicky D women who worked, but they weren't career women. They worked because they had to. This was not a career choice for them. But it wasn't easy. If you want to see what the silent women went through, there's a television show called Mad Men, and it's a TV show about male advertising execs in the 1950s and the women who worked there. And of course, there's a whole bigger story with it, but really watching how they were treated and what they had to put up with. But that's what you did. You did it in order to have the job, and they suffered, in most cases, silently. And I know this seems like ancient history to a lot of people, but that was what it was like to the silent women. And baby boomers today have to, you know, have opportunities because of what the silent women endured. In addition to the silence, the silent generation is strong and self-sufficient, yet they tend to stay out of the spotlight. This is a group that works behind the scenes. For example, silents don't become the star. They become the stage managers. Silents don't become the president of the United States. They become the president's chief of staff. And ironically, silents produce many of the radical baby boomers, but few silents would even think of being radical themselves. It's also how they communicate. They have an opinion, but they were raised not to voice it or even offer it. But they want very much to be asked. They're reluctant to speak up. Remember, generation, they're not only from the Victorian generation where people just, you know, you're a very private generation, but this was a silent generation. So they're reluctant to speak up when they disagree, but they resent being told what to do. And there's some people who say it's passive-aggressive behavior, but it's not. It's just one more example of a number of important generational traits. This is also a group that conforms with social norms, and many did so, but many silents, not all of them, but many silents seethe inside as the baby boomer generation is so outspoken and ultimately getting many of the benefits the silents worked for while the silents had to be silent. And now many are seeing the silence feelings about that manifest itself in a really surprising way. A few months ago, I wrote an article for my newsletter on the silent generation. And a woman I know who gets my newsletter called me to tell me that she really liked the article and how perfectly everything about the silent generation described her. She said it was absolutely her and how much it had brought back memories because that was exactly what she had gone through. And then she said, but you know what? I'm now 70 years old and I've been quiet my whole life and now I'm 70 years old and I'm speaking up and I'm not taking any garbage off of anybody. And all of a sudden, the light bulb went off in my head, and the connection was made. I mean, how perfectly that described what so many of my clients were telling me. You know, that a lot, and it's what a lot of family members are seeing, that with this generation, they, you know, it's nothing, everything's fine, and then there's an explosion. So how do you help them? Well, this is a group that tends to be procedure-oriented versus goal-oriented. In other words, how are we going to get there versus don't worry about it, we'll make it up as we go along. Or worse, I'll tell you what you need to know. For more, we're going to break right now, but for more ways to help them, we're going to come back in a few minutes and then talk about how to understand your aging loved ones so you can successfully communicate. This is Barbara Friesner, and you are listening to Age Wise Living.
News. Opinion.
Can you hear me?
Your voice counts. Call toll-free 1-866-472-5787. 1-866-472-5787. VoiceAmerica.com.
Do you know what it takes to reach massive success? Do you know that if you change your thinking,
you can change your life?
The Development Connection with host Amy Hines will give you the keys to reach ultimate success. Each show will feature topics to help you reach personal, career, and business ownership success. And you'll learn how to enlarge your vision to move ahead in life and within your organization. The Development Connection with Amy Hines is live every Monday on Voice America at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, noon Pacific. Listen today and move forward tomorrow.
Are you struggling with caregiving responsibilities for your parents, in-laws, or other aging loved ones? Are you in an elder care power struggle with your siblings? Are you struggling to balance work and elder care and feeling you're losing control of both? Are elder care issues such as driving, finances, or maintaining their home costing you time, money, relationships, and peace of mind? Wanting to help an aging loved one is one of the most loving and compassionate things you can do. However, your help may not always be appreciated or well received, leaving you tired, frustrated, and overwhelmed. If this sounds like what you're going through, you're not alone. I'm Barbara Friesner, and I'm a generational coach, and I'm here to help you. To get started, just call me toll-free for a complimentary get-acquainted conversation at 877-AGE-WISE. That's 877-AGE-WISE. Or go to my website, agewiseliving.com. That's agewiseliving.com to resolve your elder care issues by choice, not crisis. Call 877-AGE-WISE.
How many of us haven't felt ripped off at one time or another? Don't you wish you had someplace to tune in for the answers? Join Jennifer Litwin every week on The Shop Cop. She'll take the time to explain real value and keep you away from the fraud that's out there in the shopping world. Jennifer has become the shopper's advocate, which means she can get you on the right track. Her guests are a who's who in the retail world. Don't get caught making a mistake in this down economy. Jennifer Litwin is here to help. The Shop Cop, live Thursdays at 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific, on the Voice America Variety Channel.
The Internet's number one talk station. Number one talk station. VoiceAmerica.com.
You are listening to AgeWise Living with Barbara Friesner. If you have a question for Barbara, a comment or problem you wish to discuss on today's program, call in now at 1-866-472-5788. That's toll-free, 1-866-472-5788. Or send an email to Barbara at agewiseliving.com. Now back to our program.
Hi, welcome back to AgeWise Living. I'm Barbara Friesner, and our topic today is understanding your aging loved ones so you can successfully communicate with them, so you can resolve your elder care issues by choice, not crisis. And we first talked about the Vicky D's and understanding the Victorian Depression-era generation, and now we're talking about the silent generation what it's like, what it was like for them growing up and why they are the way they are today. And it's a tough time for them. It's a very difficult time to be a member of the silent generation because, they are getting older and now they're speaking out. And, before we went on the break, what we started talking about is how do you help members of the silent generation so that you can get them to communicate effectively with you, but also so you can keep things calm and cool and collected and not run up against an explosion every once in a while. So how do you help them? Well, this is a group, the silent generation is a group that tends to be procedure-oriented versus goal-oriented. In other words, this is a group that wants to know, they don't necessarily want to know every single detail about what you're doing, but they want to know what's going on. They want to know how we're going to do this, what we're going to do. They want to know the process as opposed to, don't worry about it, I'll let you know when we get there, or this is our goal and I'll let you know what you need to do, or, it's only on a need-to-know basis. This is a group that wants to participate and will get annoyed if they don't get to participate. So what do? You give them the information they need. You give them information that's organized and factual. Use clear, non-emotional, non-condescending language. treat them as equals, not as children, and Vicki D's as well. There is a saying out there called parenting the parent, and that's one of my pet peeves, because we never become our parents' parents. It may feel that way sometimes, but in reality, if you're parenting the parent and you're the parent, they are by definition the child. And what ends up often happening is that you start talking to them that way, as if they're children, you know, the verbal pat on the head. And understandably, they're going to get upset about that. So rather than parenting the parent, it's important to have a collaboration to work with them. So thinking in terms of using, especially for the Vicki D's, the clear, unemotional, non-condescending language. And most importantly of all, they often feel a lack of respect. I mean, they feel, and I've heard this from a number of them, we fought your battles. And they don't feel respected. You know, it's like their children are saying, yeah, that's all right, yeah, you know, that was then, this is now. And they're saying, no, wait a minute. The silencers are saying, wait a minute, I fought your battle. I was there. I understand how this works. I was the person who put my head on the line. So it's really important as you're talking with them to show your respect by doing, especially by asking questions rather than telling, by asking. Things like, so what do you think? Or what do you think we should do? Or what do you think is the right option? Asking them the kinds of questions to let them participate and to say, if you'd like me to look into some other options for you, I'm happy to do it and I'll bring the information to you and let you decide what you want to do. But really making them a part of the process. Now, working with a member of the silent generation may require a little more patience, which can be very frustrating for the baby boomers, especially since some of them seem, you know, some of the silent generation seems so like us. But it's worth it in the long run. It's worth it to take the patience with both the Vicki D's and the silence, to take the patience and to spend the time working with them as a collaboration. Now, we've spent a lot of time looking at who our aging loved ones are generationally, and that is such a key to helping them. Because if you're not able to communicate, then obviously what you need to say is not going to get through, and they're not going to be able to understand what you're talking about or work with you. And that's really, understanding and communicating effectively is really the key to working with them. Understanding who they are generationally and adapting your communication style to theirs. If they want to work with you, they're going to work with you. And so, obviously, you know, that just goes on as it has, because if they want to work with you, then you have the kind of communication that works. But if they don't want to work with you, and many Vicki D's, many silents, you know, they're scared. They're going through very emotional times. And it's a difficult time for them. Some of the things that they're going through emotionally, they're dealing with major life issues like old age and death. They're seeing spouses and friends die. They're fearful of being destitute or homeless. They're fearful of losing control and independence or being dependent. And you can just imagine what they're going through. And so for a lot of them, this is true for any generation, no matter how much you have learned to change over the years, no matter how much you have learned to be, to spend more money or spend money more freely or communicate more with your kids or your doctors or whatever, over the years, that's great. The thing is that when we are emotional, who we are generationally always is our fallback position, always. We go back to who we learned to be during our formative years. And so when we have somebody who in their formative years was very private and they may have learned to speak up when they're very emotional, that's when they're going to recede back to being very private. Very proud. That's when they're very emotional. They may have learned to accept help or ask for help, but when they're very emotional, they revert back to being very proud and not accepting help and not talking about it and sort of closing in, not spending the money and not, you know, not wanting to let go. And this is a time when they are particularly emotional. This is a particularly emotional time. And what we're going to do, it's important to understand who your loved ones are generationally, and what I really encourage you to do for more information, because we went through it so quickly, but for more information, if you're interested in getting a lot more detail, I really encourage you to go to my website, to the newsletter page, which is www.agewiseliving.com. And I've got about 5 years' worth of newsletters on there. And I hope while you're there, you'll sign up for my newsletter. It's a free newsletter. It's now weekly. And sign up for the newsletter. But there you'll get a lot more information. In addition, I really want to hear from you. I want to hear if you have any questions about what we've covered, whether you have any questions about your own aging loved one, or if you have suggestions for the show, because I really want, we're going to be interviewing people as we go along, but I really want your input because I want to make this your show. So please do email me at barbara@agewiseliving.com. And that's all the time we have today. The time went really, really fast. And I had a great time, and I thank you all so much for listening. Please do tune in next Tuesday at 10 a.m. Eastern, 7 a.m. Pacific. In the meantime, this is your most appreciative host, Barbara Friesner, and I will see you next week. And until then, have a terrific week, and carpe diem, or seize the day.
We appreciate your joining us for AgeWise Living with host Barbara Friesner. Please tune in again next Tuesday morning at 7 Pacific, 10 Eastern, here on the Voice America Variety Channel.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program, brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.